So it's interesting, it says that there are basically two fundamental actions that can result from a perception: growth or protection. What I really observed that was very important in understanding the lessons the cells were trying to teach me was simply this: that cells could not be in growth and in protection at the same time. They were mutually exclusive behaviors in this regard. Growth, move to a stimulus, be open to assimilate it. Protection, completely opposite. Move away from a stimulus, close yourself down to protect yourself from the environment. What's interesting about it is the simple, obvious nature that a cell cannot move in both directions at the same time. Cells can be in growth, where they're actually responding to their environment and building themselves up, or cells can be closed to the environment in protection, walling themselves off, but you can't be open and closed at the same time. You can't move to a stimulus and away from a stimulus at the same time. So I started to recognize that living organisms were responding to the stimuli in regard to their behavior, and that could be described as either responding to it in growth or responding to it in protection. Well, it's interesting because when we bring this up to the level of human biology, here's an interesting fact: that growth and protection, the extremes of stimuli between growth and protection as perceived by the human, can be described as love and fear. Love is the ultimate growth response for a human. Once you experience love in your field, if you perceive love, you will move to that love no matter where it is and try to get it and assimilate it and take it in. If love's on the other side of the mountain, you will climb over that mountain to get to love and take it in. If the mountain is too high, you'll dig a tunnel through the mountain to get to love. It is the ultimate growth perception, love, for humans. In contrast, fear is the exact opposite. When you fear something, you try to get away from it. You try to close yourself off. You wall yourself off from fear. You get in a protection response. So that it's interesting. Well, yes, many things can be supporting our growth, our nutrition, the environment that we live in, the physical house, and all these other kinds of things. It turns out that love seems to be the most profound of all of the perceptions for growth. It is interesting because in Eastern European countries, there are many, many orphanages, because in those countries, people have children as promoted by the church, but then they recognize when they get past a certain number of children they can actually maintain, all the extra children are dropped off at the orphanages. Well, it's interesting because the orphanages provide interesting study sites. When you observe the kids in these orphanages, you observe something such as this: they all are fed very well. They all have clothing, they have their rooms, they're protected from the elements, they have everything except love. And the interesting part about that is, in the absence of love, every one of their vital statistics are suppressed by 30% or more. Their physiological correlates are greatly depressed. They're really very sickly in general. Many of them are autistic. Now, autism in this particular situation is really derived from the fact that if they're not getting love, they're not being allowed to open themselves and expose themselves to the outside world. In the absence of love, they close themselves down. Autism in this particular situation is a result of closing themselves down, protecting themselves from the world that doesn't offer them that love. So it's very interesting that there is a correlation in the children of how they respond to love and how their physiology is a direct connection to their perceptual experiences. Well, it turns out why these perceptions that support us give us health, and why our perceptions that where we buy into fear and threats of our survival actually cut down our life is related to a mechanism in the human body called the HPA axis. The H stands for hypothalamus, the P stands for pituitary, the A stands for adrenal glands, and they collectively interact in the following way. The H, the hypothalamus, is the portion of the brain that does the interpretation of the perceptions. So when you observe your world, your hypothalamus is designating whether this perception is one that promotes growth or this perception requires a protection response. When the hypothalamus perceives signals in the environment that require a protection response, it must engage the body's behavior to deal with the requirement of protection. So this is why the hypothalamus, upon interpreting a stress response, will send that information to the pituitary gland. Well, the reason why the pituitary gland is involved is very simple. As you may remember even from elementary school, the pituitary gland is called the master gland. It is the gland that sends signals to 50 trillion cells to coordinate all their behaviors. So if I'm going to direct the operation of the machine, the pituitary gland becomes a conduit to get the information to all of the cells of the system. So the situation of a stressful existence interpreted by the hypothalamus is forwarded to the pituitary gland. But since the threat comes from the outside and I need to engage a protection response, this is why the signal is then forwarded to the adrenal gland, because even the adrenal gland, if you remember from high school classes, is the gland that's associated with fight or flight. The adrenal gland is the gland that engages the behaviors of protection. So when we see a stressful environment before us, we activate the HPA axis, which results in our getting into a protection response. Remember, protection is closing yourself down and walling yourself off from the noxious environment. In this part, what do the adrenal glands do to promote this behavior? And this becomes very important for the following reason. The adrenal glands send out stress hormones. The stress hormones inform the system that the threat that we may experience is coming from the outside world. Since we're going to have to deal with the outside world, we really want to nourish our arms and legs, because in a fight or flight behavior, those are the organs that we're going to use to maintain our existence. So in fight or flight, using arms and legs, I want to nourish those arms and legs and give them all the energy I possibly can to carry out their very important task of saving my life. So to do that, the body shifts the allocation of energy to the protection system. Well, in the textbooks of physiology, they say this in response to the fact that when stress hormones are released into the system, the blood is preferentially sent to the arms and legs. Well, that makes obvious sense. I want the blood, which carries nutrition, to go to the arms and legs so I can energize my muscles and allow me to use fight or flight behavior to protect myself. But when you go back to that sentence I just used, there's a very important part of the phrase. The phrase goes, the blood is preferentially sent to the arms and legs. That causes us to pause a second and say, so where was the blood before it was in the arms and legs? And that's when we realize the blood was in the viscera, the gut. But what's the function of the gut? The blood is nourishing the visceral elements to do what? Well, the function of the viscera is growth and maintenance of the body. All the organs of metabolism and digestion and energy distribution and filtering systems and all the things that keep us healthy and alive are really the elemental functions of the viscera. And yet, when I'm in a state of protection, I need to send all my nourishment to my arms and legs. And this is accomplished by the fact that when we see an environment that requires protection, we gauge the HPA axis. When the stress hormones are released into the body, the stress hormones cause the blood vessels in the viscera to constrict. When the blood vessels are constricted, the blood flow is restricted. No longer is blood flow easily going through the visceral elements. They stop their functions basically because without blood, there's no nourishment. Then the processes of growth are inhibited. That growth mechanisms are actually shut off when we are in a stress response because we're allocating all the energy via the blood to the peripheral organs.